hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Now, next week, we're going to be broadcasting from the deck of the CX2 with our friends from Explorer Ventures for the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. Now, we got our friends from Spare Air on board. We got our friends from Scuba Pro on board. And, of course, several listeners. And you're going to hear all about it when we broadcast from the boat next week. However, this week, we got a lot of stuff to cover. And to kick off today's radio spectacular, I got my good friend Phil Nico, our West Palm Beach Scuba Radio correspondent, on the line. Phil, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg. In fact, I'm getting ready to go on a trip of my own.
You are? Okay, so you're going down to an area I have not been, as a matter of fact. The Dry Tortugas, am I right?
Dry Tortugas.
Yeah? Okay,
I mean,
so...
What is that? I mean, no one's even ever heard of that.
Oh, no, I've heard a lot about it, actually. Off the coast of Key West, or I don't know, how many, it's like, what, 50 miles off the coast?
It's 67 miles west of Key West.
Okay, there you go. So it's a bit of a haul, so you got to take a nice, you know, vessel out there. They run some... I don't know. They run some like snorkel trips out there that are these fast cats, but you're going out on your own little liveaboard experience down there, right?
It's a liveaboard with 3 days of diving. And what I love about it is, you know, since I live here in South Florida, it's going to be about a 5-hour drive for me to Key West, which is where we're going to meet at the marina, right?
Right, right.
So what they said is, and you know, we travel and we take scuba excursions and we love to take our gear as passionate divers, right? But what's the one thing we can't take, of course, is our tanks.
Right.
So what I love about this format is, you know, since I'm within driving distance and actually our whole group, we're going with a nice group here from West Palm Beach, the drift dive capital of the world.
Well, okay. Get that in there. Sure.
Yes, sir. And, you know, they said bring your tank. Hmm. And, of course, they're going to fill the tank stationary after every dive. And so I'll have all my own gear, including my Steel 100s, which, of course, is optimal.
Well, interesting. All right, so this particular boat, they encourage you to bring their tanks, but they have tanks as well, or it's just an optional thing, or what?
Oh, I think it's optional.
Okay, so you wanted to be able to bring your steel tanks, so you wouldn't have to have that extra weight, and you're just used to diving them locally there in Palm Beach, I guess.
Sure, right? I mean, if you can just dive your own gear 100%, you know, that certainly would be optimal.
Yeah, it makes you more comfortable, for sure.
Sure.
Now, this particular liveaboard, when we were talking about this earlier in the week, you're saying they don't really do spearfishing, which I know there's at least one or two liveaboards down there that really go out on these crazy spearfishing excursions down there through the Dry Tortugas,
actually,
obviously outside the park.
Yeah, actually, but, it is a vessel that does spearfish. However,
okay.
This group, with this week, or with this particular excursion, is not a hunting trip.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Which I'm fine with, and mm-hmm. You know, I've got my camera and my GoPro to take great video and pictures. And so they're doing a different itinerary, which from what I've seen here from previous captain's logs looks really, really attractive. And we're going to be hitting some reefs where you've got your typical tropicals, even some Goliath groupers I see here. And so there, it's a reef trip in the Dry Tortugas, which, you know, most of the times you'll be doing hunting trips with these excursions.
Yes. Now, I know a lot of the day fast cats that go out of Key West down to the Dry Tortugas for like a day. You know, they take cruise ship passengers down there for excursions, I think. I mean, it's a very long day because, like you said, it's 67 miles to the Dry Tortugas. But they go out there to Fort Jefferson. And I know that's a big hot spot for people to go out there and snorkel around the area. Is that part of your itinerary as well, or you're just going to be in the same general vicinity, or do you know?
Yes, I believe we're going to be touching down in Fort Jefferson, and then there's a total of 10 dives scheduled. So I know that I think Fort Jefferson is on the list and in that area as well. And it's a total of 10 dives, I believe, in 3 days.
Well, very good. So you'll go out there for, you say, how many nights you're staying on the boat?
It's 3 days of diving. And we're going down, let's see, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday. So it's three nights and 3 days of diving.
Got it. Now, have you ever dove this part of the world before? I mean, you've been around the block a little bit when it comes to diving.
Yeah, you know, I've been in the Keys, mm-hmm. but I've haven't been farther south than Marathon, and I've been in diving in Penny Camp Park at Key Largo, but haven't been this far south and this far west. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I'll be looking forward to comparing and contrasting how this diving, compares to the rest of Florida and elsewhere.
Well, I would imagine you're coming down from West Palm Beach. You said it's like a 5-hour drive. That tacking on, some dives up and down the Keys, either on the front or back side of your trip, might be fairly easy to do. You planning to maybe hit the Vandenberg mm-hmm. while you're down there in Key West or something, or what?
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. The boat on the last day comes back to Key West, mm-hmm. and our last dive, or two dives, is the Vandenberg.
Aha, okay. Well, there you go. So you'll fit in a little bit of that, and then you'll finish up your, after cruise party, I'm guessing, on Duval Street.
Oh, yeah. We'll save some time for that.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a pretty cool itinerary. Like I said, I've heard a lot about the Dry Tortugas over the years. I just never have been able to go down there and personally experience it myself. But I've heard the diving is quite impressive, especially when you get that far off of Key West. And
I'm looking forward to experiencing it. One thing I've noticed here is the water temperature this year has been really, really warm. They say that right now it's 88 degrees.
Aha. Well, hey, if you're a bathtub diver like me or a warm water wuss, and I know you can relate, yes. That's our kind of diving.
Yeah, so I'm thinking actually, even with repetitive dives in warm water, you can, the core can get cold, on a trip like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, geez, I'm wondering if my 3-2 is going to be too thick. I'm thinking of maybe treating myself to a new piece of there's always a reason to go out and buy new gear, right?
Well, exactly. I got some new Scuba Pro stuff that I'm going to be using next week on our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, and they sent me a 0.5 mil Scuba Pro skin. I'm going to say, I look pretty damn good in this thing, because it really slims you in the right places. I've taken off a good 10 pounds in this skin, and the color scheme's pretty nice, and I don't know. So I'm going to look nice and svelte, and won't overheat in my 0.5 millimeter skin from Scuba Pro. So maybe something like that might be appropriate.
I'm going to go check. There's a Scuba Pro shop, down the street here in West Palm, and I really like the quality of Scuba Pro. I'm going to go check that out.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you might find that quite good. And honestly, even when we go down to Ceiba here next week, it'll be interesting to compare the water temps. When I was down there last time, I was getting 83, and that is bathtub diving for me.
That's
anything above 80 is great, right? But it's a month later. It could be, it could chill down just a tad. And then on the night dives, that's when you definitely you know, want to use a skin for a couple reasons. Now, I don't know if they have this down on the dry tortugas, but I'm guessing it's going to be similar. The other thing you got to take into account, especially on the night dives, is the potential of jellyfish. Because sometimes they'll have, in the warmer months, you know, and we're still at the tail end of summer here, as far as the dive season is concerned, there's the potential in the summer and warm water months of sea wasps popping up and being attracted to boat lights. And I'm guessing you might have that potential issue down there in the dry tortugas as well. Are you aware of that or no?
Well, I can tell you that here in West Palm Beach this weekend, the jellyfish were too many to count, you know, at your safety stop.
Yeah.
So we're in the same general region of water here. I would imagine that that's an issue. And I'll let you know when I come back from the trip.
Yeah, and just so everyone knows, if jellyfish isn't a problem, these aren't going to kill you or anything. You just avoid them when you're scuba diving. And if you have a little thermal protection, like a skin or something, that obviously protects you somewhat from getting an annoying sting as well.
Unless you're in Jellyfish Lake in the Republic of Palau, then they don't sting at all.
Well, right? There you go. They don't have any stingers. They just look nice and feel kind of gooey up against your skin. All right, but that's a whole nother story. Phil, thanks for the update. We look forward to a full dive report from the Dry Tortugas here in a couple weeks. Enjoy yourself. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
You got it, Greg. Talk to you again soon.
More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to deepwaterkay.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
All right, everyone. Step lively. Look sharp. It's almost showtime. I'll give you a final room tone check, please, and check your marks.
We'd like to ask now that all passengers please hold your breath as we take you through an underwater hip-hop extravaganza. We're now descending.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right, I've pulled out the big guns. I got Dr. Alex Brilski on the line with us right now via the web. Alex, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Always a pleasure, Greg.
We were talking about these jellyfish, and I figured if anybody knows about what's going on with the proliferation of jellyfish and just being aware of them, it's Dr. Alex Brilski. He wrote the book on diving. He studies it day in and day out down there in the Florida Keys now. And I don't know, what are you hearing about these animals? Do we got to be, or should we be concerned, Alex, or what? What do you think?
Well, I think certainly there's reason to be concerned, and anecdotally, at least my experience is there's certainly been an increase in jellyfish, particularly moon jellies we get down here in the Keys. This year has been especially problematic. I've had probably 20% of my students get zapped just in the past month or so. So it's a problem, and it's also being reported more and more, I think, around the world that jellyfish blooms are becoming increasingly common. One hypothesis is that it's an indication that the food web in the ocean has been altered. In other words, the jellyfish that are surviving to adulthood, if the ocean food web was intact, would probably be, you know, lunch for some other critter.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, like, turtles love the jellyfish.
Adult jellyfish, yes, but I'm just talking about in their larval state when they are part of the plankton. Mm. The normal, you know, a healthy food web would, you know, consume a lot of those, and if those predators are knocked out, then the survival of the larval jellyfish to adulthood would increase, and that's one hypothesis as to why jellyfish are increasing, because the ocean food web's been knocked out of kilter because we've taken so many fish out of the ocean.
Yeah. Well, time will tell, I guess. I mean, the good news, I guess, when we're talking about moon jelly blooms or the proliferation of those particular species of jellyfish, those aren't too bad for the divers. They're irritable, but they don't really hurt you too much unless you, you know, try to wash your face with one, I guess, right?
Well, I thought as much as well, but I've had two students in the past month who actually were stung so badly they got infections. So
yeah,
it's not a matter of the venom being particularly deadly, but I think the reaction from that can be, you know, highly variable. And I know I'm going to implement a policy starting next semester requiring that my students wear full exposure protection at all times.
Well, exactly. Get one of these Scuba Pro 0.5 mil skins that I'm going to use.
Those, yeah. One of those just a skin suit. I mean, you know, some sort of protection. And that was really never necessary in years past. I mean, you know, yeah, you would see jellyfish periodically, but I mean, we're seeing swarms near the surface, particularly as students exit onto the boat.
Yeah,
just getting zapped, you know, right and left.
Yeah,
so
you got to create a bubble curtain to come up out of the water sometimes, and just blow your octopus and create a kind of a bubble curtain like the whales do when they're trying to round up their stuff, but this will blow the jellyfish out of the way. But yeah, I guess it just depends on you a little bit too. More people are more susceptible to you know, bee stings and things like that, and jellyfish kind of fall into that same category.
Yeah,
all right, well, I appreciate the update on that, Alex. Let's talk about what you're up to down there in the Florida Keys. Now, you're working at the Florida Keys Community College, overseeing their scientific diving program, or even more than that, I guess,
yeah,
right?
Actually, it's more than that. We have our Marine Science Division has a very unique Associate of Science degree in Marine Environmental Technology. And as part of that degree program, one of the reasons I was brought on, in fact, was to develop and expand the scientific diving component. And one of my first tasks was to get FKCC qualified as a sanctioned organizational member of AAUS, the American Academy of Underwater Sciences. And we did that a few years ago. And so now all of our what we call MET, or Marine Environmental Technology grads, also become fully certified scientific divers. So it's been a real feather in our cap, and the word has gotten out. We've gotten a lot of demand from students and other interested people outside of our institution in that training. And this past summer, we held a special 14-day class on scientific diving that attracted students from as far as Grand Cayman to New York City. And we'll be doing that again this summer. In fact, we're going to hold two sections based upon the demand from last year.
Very nice. And by the way, this new technology we're dealing with, we can pick up everything. So yeah, he's jotting down notes as he speaks there, and we can we capture all that. So
this is scary.
It's a true diving scientist right there. You know, he's working.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. All right. So, Alex, so you got that going on. I mean, when you're working with the students and doing this kind of thing, I know you do have that scientific diving program, and that's been opened up, and you're having a huge demand for people that want to get into the program and get into the scientific diving community, I guess, right?
Exactly.
How does that work? I mean, how could somebody listening right now, if they wanted to, you know, have a son or daughter get involved, or if they're themselves interested in following that path, how would they apply? And what kind of field would they go into? Would they just multiple different types of scientific diving or what?
Yeah, basically just think of any form of research that might have to be done underwater. And so, in fact, our class covers everything from, you know, from biological applications and coral reef assessment on through underwater archaeology. So it's in essence, any scientific endeavor that has to take place underwater, you know, it requires specialized techniques and training in how to apply those techniques. As far as what one does after they're trained, it's really, you know, there's almost no such thing as a full-time scientific diver. There are a few, but very few. Mostly, these are limited-time projects where researchers need technicians or other qualified people to assist them with experiments or monitoring or some such.
Yeah, coral reef restoration, monitoring lobster stocks or something like that, I guess, or a particular type of coral growth or something. What are you guys doing right now? Are you working on a specific project that's kind of like top of the list right now, or is it
We work in actually two ongoing projects. We've been working with the Coral Restoration Foundation and Ken Niedermeyer up in Key Largo for over almost 6 years, so they kind of get a pretty good overview on the coral gardening, as we call it. And we've also been working with the Mel Fisher Museum and their director of archaeology, Corey Malcolm, in documenting a historic shipwreck in Key West Harbor.
Wow, that sounds great. Hold on. I want to carry you through the break and tell people how they can actually connect with Alex and the Florida Keys Community College. Next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I have Dr. Alex Brilski on the line with us via the web right now. He's down at Key West at the Florida Keys Community College. But let's not forget, he's like the senior editor for Dive Training Magazine. He's written the book on diving, literally. And by the way, what's the name of it again? Alex, let's get it out there.
My newest book is The Complete Diver. It's the history, science, and practice of scuba diving.
Yeah, so you can get that through divetrainingmag.com or
Dive Training Magazine or on Amazon.
Yeah, there you go. So pick it up and you'll be, you know, just that much smarter as a scuba diver. Now, if you want to get involved or send someone down there to the Florida Keys Community College to participate in some of these programs Alex talked about, where would they go, Alex?
Well, you can go onto our website, which is simply fkcc.edu, and kind of get an overview. But I would encourage folks to contact me directly. They can contact me at my office phone here at 305-809-3148, or my email, which is simply my name, alex.brylske scuba@fkcc.edu.
Well, there you go. And if you can't remember all that stuff, feel free to email us here at Scuba Radio or reach out to us, and we'll make sure we connect you with Alex down there at the college. I mean, and demand's pretty high, so you kind of have to, you know, talk to Alex, you know, grease the wheels accordingly. I don't know how it works. It's not. It's more than a 20, I'm guessing. But you're very helpful when it comes to getting people into the program if they choose
and
that
and
path.
And they can participate at various levels. I mean, they can pursue the full two-year Associate of Science degree, but we also have a state certificate in as a professional research diver that requires, I believe, 14 credit hours. So in as little as a semester, they could get the general background to be qualified as a scientific technician.
And to boot, you get to spend your college time in Key West. Could be a plus or minus, depending on what night of the week.
Greg, we call it studying duvology.
Of course. That is a true college experience. Trust me, I've been there, and I didn't even go to the college.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
All right, more coming up after the Dan Tip next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio Divers Consumer Tip number 333. If you pick up a shell underwater,
I thought I sent you away, cretin.
Not only will you hear the ocean, you may also experience excruciating pain from the hermit crab's claws that burrows its way into your ear canal.
You see how wonderful life can be?
In the ocean.
When you're maniacal.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Did you have any trouble finding the new studio, Nick?
No.
GPSs are pretty cool, aren't they?
Yes, they are, but I didn't need one.
What? Did you use the force?
No, I had directions. I knew where I was and where I was going.
Okay, so in other words, you employed good navigational skills.
Yes, I did, Greg, and they're not just for diving anymore.
But underwater navigation is a good skill to have.
It really is. And why is that?
So you don't get lost.
Exactly. Underwater navigation skills are so important, entire specialties are built on them.
So what are the benefits of being able to navigate underwater?
Shoot, what aren't the benefits? At least half a dozen come to mind almost immediately.
Prove it.
Being proficient in underwater navigation helps you relax and avoid confusion or disorientation. You'll know where you are, where you need to go, and where you are in relation to your exit point.
Okay, that's one.
It helps avoid long surface swims, unless, of course, that was part of the plan. Poor navigation skills can leave you surfacing far from the boat, and that's generally not ideal.
That's two.
It maximizes your dive plan. Knowing where you are allows you to do what you plan to do, so you don't spend half your bottom time guessing and searching.
Three.
It avoids buddy separation. If you both know where you're going and are able to navigate there, you're less likely to lose each other.
That's four.
It conserves air.
Okay, wait. Time out. You're reaching for this one. Navigation conserves air?
It's the relaxation thing again. Confidence in where you are helps you relax, which keeps you calm, which helps you breathe evenly and slowly.
All right, five. One more.
You don't get lost.
Shoot, I should have seen that one coming. Man, that was a half dozen.
I can give you more.
And I'd love to hear them. But how about giving our listeners some tips on how to navigate?
There are several methods you can use, like natural navigation. Before you even get in the water, take stock of the waves, currents, or any landmarks on shore. Once you're underwater, use what's around you to stay oriented. Note the direction of the current and take stock of coral formations or bottom composition. If you're diving a reef or a wall, keep it on one side of you for the first half of the dive and reverse it on the return.
Sounds easy enough.
Well, it is. Another option is to use the underwater pattern. Swim in a predetermined pattern like a square or rectangle instead of choosing random directions.
Been there, done that. I use a compass myself.
And they're a terrific navigation tool. Set a heading to follow on your way out and follow the reciprocal back in. There are lots of methods you can use and a lot to know about each one of them. The best thing you can do is to take a specialty course to learn the finer points and then practice what you've learned. Navigation is one of the most useful and safety-oriented skills you can have.
What's the point of diving the perfect site if you can't find it again? Good navigation skills always let divers know where they are, where they need to be, and where they want to go once more. Don't spend your time swimming in circles muttering, "I swear this was around here somewhere." Get yourself some training in underwater navigation. Practice and be the diver everyone else asks for directions. Do that and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving, and on via FaceTime with me right now, without the face because it's a radio show, is our good friend, Mermaid Tiffany, who's going to be in Sable with us on the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise next week. Tiffany, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about yourself, Greg?
I am good. I'm ready to get together, and we'll do some, you know, videos of you doing your mermaid thing, and maybe a little diving too. What do you think?
That sounds interesting.
It sounds appealing. You're not being forced into this position to go on this trip with us.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm going on to go diving and to see Saba and to go with Explorer Ventures and see the crew because they're awesome. You just kind of have to be there in order for me to go. So.
Well, there's the good and the bad, and you got to take them both when it comes to these kind of things. All right,
we'll just leave that
where it lies. But anyway, you're looking forward to it. You're in Colorado right now, but getting ready to hop on a plane and head south to Miami and then over to St. Martin, where we're going to join our friends from Spare Air, from Scuba Pro. Have you seen your Scuba Pro gear yet? Because we're going to be diving new gear all week. You know this?
Yes, I do know. Yeah, I got a nice little care package in the mail and had no idea what it was. Nup. And it was a bunch of new scuba stuff. And I was ecstatic. And I tried it on. It fits beautifully. And it's very, very hip, as one might say.
Yeah, you like the...
You're not familiar with that term, but us younger people, it's cool.
No, I am totally hep to your jive, Tiffany.
Okay, yeah, hip to my jive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but the Scuba Pro, you're talking about the Scuba Pro rash guard, and I don't know the skin they give us. Yeah, it's like a 0.5 wetsuit, which is slightly more than a skin, but really more than we would ever need because the water temp's going to be over 80. I'm sure of it. That's what I'm feeling. And all we need is just something.
Maybe. Just something to take for the night edge dives. Yeah, for the night dives, or if it's a little overcast. You know me, I like to lay out and get my little tan on and warm up. And
that's right. Less is more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just the mermaid credo, right?
Less is more?
Yeah.
That depends on what you're talking about. I mean, if we're talking about time with
okay,
you.
Okay, let's just not even go there. That would just be bad. So we'll just leave that one lie as well. All right. So you are looking forward to going back to Saba because, well, I don't know. This is going to be your first trip to Saba, correct?
No.
Second one to Saba. Okay. So what are you looking forward to most on this particular adventure? Which, by the way, we'll be broadcasting from the boat next week, so you'll hear all about it. But, Tiffany, once again, this is your second time going. What do you remember from our first adventure? Or do you remember anything?
Well, yes, I do. Okay. I remember everything. The crew is great, for one. I mean, we lucked out and always have phenomenal people on the boat. But also, on top of that, the diving's wonderful. We got to hear whales last time. It was incredible diving, great conditions. I don't even think we had a cloudy day. And then you have the island tours. It really just adds even more to the whole trip itself because you don't usually get those in a lot of liveaboards. So that's always a good time. Get that Saba spice and go see all the cool tide pools on Saba. And it's a very, very memorable trip. I'm actually looking at my computer right now, and my screensaver is actually a photo from our last trip there. So.
Really? Which one? From your tide pool video shoot, or no?
Yeah, well, I'm not in it, because I'm not like conceited like that to stare at myself the entire day.
Oh, so it's a picture of me. It's a picture of me, is what you're saying.
No, absolutely not.
No?
No, it's a picture of I think it's the backside of the island. Yeah, where all the tide pools and stuff are, with the waves crashing against the volcanic rock. And an awesome photo. I took it, by the way, so you're welcome.
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess so. But, yeah, you know, whether or not we get over to that side of the island this time, I don't know. I mean, that's right there by the airport of Saba, and that is part of the island tour. So, I don't know. I've done this so many times. I mean, I'm open to suggestions, but I'm thinking we may just go up to the top of the mountain this time and just enjoy a few hours on the at the Overlook Bar there or something. What do you think? And see who we can run into from other countries that are popping over for a holiday.
Oh, you know I'm game for anything. There's not a place on that island you can go to and not have a good time, no matter what it is, whether you're walking and hiking through the jungle area with a guy who's got a giant machete, or you go in the back and look at the tide pools where it's a little more romantic, and then you see the goats everywhere, or you just go chill by a bar and say hi to all the locals who are very, very friendly, and all the people passing through, and I'll do anything once.
Yeah. Well, it's the one place in the Caribbean where they guarantee a green flash. You can actually hold up your Heineken bottle there at the bar, and they guarantee you'll see a green flash when the sun goes beneath the waves.
Yeah, you know, I think I distinctly remember last time we were there, you were recording it, and we saw the actual green flash, but you forgot to take the lens off the GoPro.
Yeah, I've never actually captured it on film, but I've seen it every time we've been there because...
You're too drunk and you forget to take the cap off.
No, I just can't line up the Heineken bottle in front of the lens while I'm trying to drink it at the same time. It just doesn't work well. Yeah. But underwater, what about underwater? What are you hoping we'll see this time?
Ooh, well, last time we saw copious amounts of turtles everywhere. Baby turtles, mama turtles, everything. So that was awesome. Great night diving. That's when I had done my second night dive of my entire diving career, and I'm so glad I did it.
We'll do some more night dives and God knows what else. And you'll hear all about it on next week's big show, so make sure you tune in for that. Tiffany, we'll see you then. Take care, okay?
Sounds good. See you on the boat.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
We've got
gotcha! 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 Get down! Gotcha! 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 Get down! Gotcha! 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 Gotcha!
Get down!
Gotcha! Get down!
Get down!
Gotta get down!
So this is going to be Mermaid Tiffany's second time on the Saba itinerary with Explore Ventures on our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. And I know she's excited because we had such a great time last year. I've been on this itinerary like 8 or 9 times. But I'll tell you, one of the ways that things stay fresh and keep me from getting too jaded is seeing people experience this for the first time. That never gets old for me. I love seeing that and knowing what's coming up and watching the passengers that have not been on the boat with us before and know that they're about to experience something truly magical and just watch the expression on their face. And that's what's going to happen to Vince from Spare Air. He's coming on with his buddy to join us for the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise next week. And Vince is on Scuba Radio right now. Vince, how are you, buddy? Are you excited or what?
Great, Greg. Yeah, I'm really excited. This is my first live aboard.
First live aboard. So, you know, you've listened to the shows that we've done from the Explorer Ventures boats in the past. So I know you have a little idea of what to expect. But, until you actually get out there and witness it for yourself, it's just really not quite the same. You just get a little taste when we talk about it. And it's always better to be there than to hear us be there. You hear what I'm saying there, Vince?
Yeah, but it's always been a little bit more than that. The way you've described it over the years, I was really jealous. But now I get to solve that problem and join you.
Well, you'll find out firsthand if what we've been saying over the years on those shows has just been a bunch of made-up nonsense or the real deal. And I think you're going to find it definitely be the latter. Now, you never have done a liveaboard experience. You've been diving for years, but you just never have done this. What's kept you from taking a liveaboard trip in the past? What do you think?
I've done a lot of private boating out here in California. So me and my buddy, we usually go out on a private boat and do it. But I've never actually gone on a professional dive boat.
You stayed overnight and did the whole thing. Right. Okay.
Right,
well,
exactly.
And plus, you know, out there in California, the water's a little bit cooler. I mean, they have some liveaboard opportunities out there, but you know, this is going to be a different ball game for you out in Saba. And that kind of thing. And this is really a truly unique itinerary, even for the liveaboard world, because we're going to have the opportunity to get off the boat a couple times and explore some islands like Saba and St. Kitts and maybe even a little bit of Nevis. We'll see. We may throw that into the mix on the last night of the cruise and have a little party out there at a Wally Resort if we can work it out for just a little added value, little added bonus for our crew next week on the boat. Now, you've already packed up all your gear. You're in the process of doing that or what? What are you thinking?
I've actually been in the process of doing it like 10 times, and I'm still not satisfied yet, so I'm going to be working on it the next 2 days.
Yeah, you know, that is one of the most important things you have to do for a trip like this, because you really want to think it through as completely as you possibly can with your dive gear, especially, to make sure you're bringing everything you need. That is the key, is making sure that you don't bring too much stuff, because most of the time, people have a tendency to overpack for these trips. And in reality, all you need is some bathing trunks, a few t-shirts, maybe a nicer outfit to go out and hang out on the town 1 or 2 times during the week. But even then, it's pretty casual. This is the Caribbean. And as far as shoes, other than wearing shoes on the airplane, when we get to the boat, you know, we put everybody's shoes in a box, and you don't wear shoes for the entire week. I bet that's news to you, huh?
Yeah, that'll be great. I'm a barefoot kind of guy, so that'll
exactly
work out great.
It's a barefoot cruise for the week.
Yeah.
So you really don't need to pack much in the way of clothing and that kind of thing. So you can really keep, you know, your luggage weight and that kind of stuff down. So easily for a liveaboard trip, people may find this surprising, but you could easily pack your dive gear and clothes in one bag under 50 pounds and maybe even have a little bit of room to spare, depending on, you know, where you kind of come into a variable issue there is with photo gear. If you're bringing some video stuff and that stuff has a tendency to weigh you down, but you may not want to check that in a checked bag anyway. But it kind of surprises a lot of people because, on a liveaboard trip, once again, you really don't need to have much in the way of clothing. You just need some bathing suits and things like that, and you're good to go. So does that help a little bit, Vince, or what do you think?
Yeah, it does, sure. And but remember, I'm lugging a little extra weight in spare airs for us.
That's right.
Test.
Yeah, you're going to bring some spare airs for people to experiment with, dive with, be a little safer with, have that redundant air supply. Now, they do a solo diving thing there. If you're solo diving certified, you can do that on the liveaboard trip. I'm not solo diving certified, but I've been thinking that maybe a certification I need to add.
Yeah, maybe it's the time we should do that. We'll have the extra units ready to go.
There you go. Or at bare minimum, just have them. You know, yeah. I mean, I know just having that extra peace of mind, having a spare air would be nice. But yeah, playing around with that a little bit. Do people take their spare airs and when they're just, futzing around on the surface, it'd be kind of fun to have a spare air and maybe dive around a little bit, you know, right? You could do that.
Oh, what a lot of people do is they test them at the safety stop.
Right.
You count your breath so you can figure out, you know, how well you can do with it. Or if you get an opportunity, you could try it from depth to the surface. But in this case, I don't think we can because I think we have to take a safety stop. You know, you can't blow your safety stop. You know?
Right, right. Well, we'll have a few special dive sites just for our crew that we'll be able to experiment with some things. And, you know, we got these mermaids and stuff, too. So I know Tiffany could use spare air and maybe use it in a creative way for some of our video shoots. We'll have to see what we can do there. And
Actually have a hands-free model. Did you ever see that on our website?
No, I didn't.
We actually have one, yeah.
Okay.
It's a vest that you wear on your chest.
Ah, there we go.
Slightly bend your neck to take a breath. Great for mermaids.
All right, we'll see if we can put
that
to work.
Maybe I should bring one of those.
Hey, bring it. The more the merrier. All right, we got hour two of Scuba Radio on deck. Roz from the UK is going to join us and much, much more. Stick around. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
You're out the wheel here. That's why it's hot.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.